Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people fun and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my career comes to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma, out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm like a small pool. That's how I do.
Well, 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 good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another Paris Culture Paris Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And like I try to tell you folks, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. Another wonderful show. If you didn't catch that piece in the opening, that was my man, Mr. Chris Wright. You know, and Chris has been doing... Oh, man, did I say Chris Wright? Woo! And oh, man. That's Keith Wright. Keith Wright. And Keith has been doing some wonderful things. Keith recently had a little stint in the D-League with a Brooklyn team and did fairly well, fairly well. And hopefully we'll get Keith to call in and give us some of his experience playing in the Development League of the NBA and what he got out of it. But Keith is a graduate of the University of Harvard, and he did that piece for me, wow, I would say close to about 7 years ago now. And we've been using that piece here on the Paris Culture Paris Network as a little opener just to get the conversation rocking and rolling. Because my man says at the end, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, folks, this evening we're going to be talking about a few things. And, you know, first I'd like to give a huge hello to all the fathers out there. All the gentlemen, and not necessarily saying just the biological fathers. I'm saying every man that stood in that gap to help out his child as an athlete. And I would throw the word in there, student athlete, but you know, I got this little thing with that term student athlete. So I'm not going to rock with that today, but I'm going to say that stood in that gap with his athlete or his child, whether or not it was an uncle, whether or not it was a biological father, whether or not it was a grandfather, whether or not it was a neighbor, whoever that gentleman was. I take my hat off to you, sir, and I applaud you. Sorry we ain't have the full sound effects of the big applause, but that was good enough to get the point across. You know, this is not to take anything away from the moms. Trust me. By all means, I know the moms do their share 24/7, without a doubt. But today is Father's Day, and I want to take my hat off and a salute to all the fathers that have stood tall and all of the men that have stood tall, stood in that gap in assisting their child in one aspect or another as he or she pursued a career in sports, and not necessarily a career in sports. Just an opportunity to play. I'm talking about even at the recreational level. I'm talking about at the middle school level. I'm talking about at the YMCA at the high school level, at the college level, than those very small percentage that has made it on to the professional level. Included in those numbers, folks. You're included in those numbers. So, again, hats off. Big shout out to those gentlemen that stood in that gap as dads and made sure that, you know, hey, the opportunity was there. The opportunity was there. Because you could have directed and suggested a whole number of other things that would have pulled that child away from the opportunity to play sports. And you're probably still doing it. Many of you that's listening this evening are probably still involved in making sure that that athlete has that opportunity. Well, folks, as I sit here and look at the board, I see a number of calls that's popped up, and I'll be opening up the phone lines and see if anybody has anything they want to share with us this evening here shortly. And any of you that's listening just via the web and decide that you want to call in, I prefer that you call in instead of just listening. Call in. Call in. 917-889-8095. I'm going to say that number again. 917-889-8095. Call in. Join in on the conversation. Know that you got something that you want to share here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. You know, I've been listening to a lot of sports talk radio over the last few months or so. And I was just kind of sort of listening just to see, you know, what's their format like and, you know, whether or not they cater to a particular audience or whatever. You know, I've been listening to a number of different shows, but a few of these shows have really caught my attention. And the interesting part, and I figure I bring this subject up here on Father's Day, the interesting part is that oftentimes listening to a lot of these sports commentators talk, I'm very quickly to get the impression that they don't have any children involved in sports. You can almost tell the ones that have children that are involved in sports, and you can almost tell the ones that don't have any children that are involved in conversation. You know, I listened to the whole great debate on Michael Jordan versus LeBron James, and who's the greatest of all times, and all this old kind of stuff. But you know what? A friend of mine posted something on Facebook today, and I was just so tempted to take that same idea and repost it on my page. But I said, no, I'm going to let my man have his plug. And I applauded him for that plug because I was think it was the greatest plug ever. And it fell right on time on this Father's Day. You know, they talked about the greatest of all times. Who's the greatest player of all times? As they call him nowadays, the GOAT. You know, that has become a term that has resurfaced. Who's the greatest of all times? Who's the GOAT? Who's the GOAT? Well, a friend of mine posted something today, and I just looked at it and just, again, I had to do nothing but take my hat off to him and applaud. He said, you can talk about Jordan. You could talk about Kobe. You could talk about LeBron as being the greatest of all times. But the greatest of all times in his life, as he sees, was his dad. And on that note, again, I have to take my hat off and salute that brother. I have to salute that young man and let him know, well stated, young man. Well stated. Well stated. And I just didn't quite understand where the conversation came from as far as the greatest of all time. But when he broke it down and put it like that and said his dad, I was so impressed. I was so impressed. And had nothing but admiration for him. And just totally admired him because he was able to put that out there. So I say that to say this. Thank you, my brother, for bringing that to light on this Father's Day in 2017. You know, think about another conversation where we talk about our children. And dads, we have a huge role in this as well. As we talk about our children and think about the time where, you know, there's this great debate that's looming in the shadows of interscholastic sports. And I've actually invited a number of my classmates to join in on this conversation this evening. And I'm kind of sort of hoping that a few of them will call in to chime in on this conversation. And this conversation will be coming from a number of folks that's majoring in sports management. So they've been around the game for a while. They have this strong interest for the industry, have this strong interest for figuring out what direction the industry is going. But I think about this argument that we had on our discussion board probably a few weeks back. And it talked about interscholastic sports, not to get that confused with intercollegiate sports, which is on the college level. Let's bring it down to the high school level, middle school level, high school, middle school level. You know, you look at it here in the United States, most people will have a question of the existence of sponsored school sports. The sponsored programs that we have at our school, you know, those programs are sponsored publicly. They're sponsored so that any child that's interested in playing and getting out there and doing his or her thing is able to actually get out there and do what they want to do. So as a result, they're able to play. However, in knowing that there has to be a budget to sponsor those sports. And as all things go, and we know how it is as adults, there's cutbacks. And they always look for the first thing and the smallest thing in somebody's mind, the least important thing to cut back. Believe it or not, folks, interscholastic sports is on that list. Many school systems have considered, or there's a conversation on cutting back on interscholastic sports. Now, does that mean everything will end up eventually rolling over to a private club or a private organization? If that happens, that's where we'll probably end up going. Now, will that hurt a number of kids, or will that help a number of kids? Believe it or not, in this huge argument, in this debate, that's not even the topic. That's not even the concern. The topic is more on whether or not it's helping or hurting the educational process. As we all know, we can draw some pros and we can draw some cons from both sides of that argument. Parents, again, this is why I say that we have to be involved in the process. It's not an optional thing. It's a must. I'm begging you to be involved in the process. I see your child going from playing middle school sports, high school sports, on off to college, and somebody paying that fee for he, for her or him to attend college, or partially paying that fee for her or him to attend college. Parents, that's just a little work. But when you look at eliminating interscholastic sports and this rolling over to a private setting, you know the number of kids that may get cut out of this program just based upon something like that actually happening? That's the conversation. That's the elephant in the room. That's not just simply, oh, well, it's hurting them academically. No, let's look at the number of kids that will be left out organization program. Because of the simple fact that there will probably be a number of kids that can't afford to pay, can't afford the fees, or some of these private organizations. Now, I see this today. We see this now, where organizations have raised the fees. So kids that they consider to be at undesirables can't become a part of this program. How fair is that? What are we looking at? We today still have private country clubs. We today still have organizations where individuals can't get in because they may be female. Oh, of course, there have been some conversations and some arguments on letting these individuals in or allowing females into these clubs. But if we're in this great world, and what I like to look at, the best country on the planet, then why are we having this conversation? Why are we stuck in this quagmire and slowly sinking? Why is there a conversation or argument on interscholastic sports? I understand the budget, but we spend our money on what we want to spend our money on. The budget didn't stop various individuals from getting great pay raises. I'm looking at this lottery that we have here in the United States that on a regular basis is up to $100 million plus. So where are all these funds rolling into? Whose pocket are all these funds rolling into? How are we going to take away from interscholastic sports? But yet and still, we managed to find a way where the owners of a lot of these professional teams are billionaire times over. A lot of these professional athletes are millionaires several times over. So why would we do away with interscholastic sports? To privatize it? So that now the system has more control, or the industry has more control over who gets in and who doesn't? I'm hoping and praying that's not the case. But we had a conversation on interscholastic sports. And we rolled over and we talked a little bit about Title IX and you know, the introduction and implementation of Title IX and, you know, trying to balance the playing field a little bit, as we know that that is still not going the way it was designed to go. Because in this strong male ego society that we live in, female sports is not a highlight, not unless a female is running around half-dressed, bouncing around on the beach in the sand somewhere. Sad to say. And fellas, do not get this conversation mixed up. I love my sports just like the next man does. I know a lot of young men that's currently playing sports, a lot of young ladies that's currently playing sports at the professional level. So, don't get that part of the conversation mixed up. My concern is, why are we allowing the conversation of interscholastic sports being challenged? You know, the critics will claim that it's interfering with, like I said, the educational process. It's taken away from the learning. Kids are more wrapped up into the sports and trying to get on the team instead of developing themselves as productive citizens and getting their true education. Well, you know, in a few of our foreign countries, they have sports academies where kids' sole focus is on just solely sports. And I haven't seen any of the studies or read anything on it as far as the success of it, that we would need a balance, and I will hope that we will try to maintain a balance of both education and athletic ability if that child has both. Let's not overshadow it by saying that sports is taking anything away from academics, because we have had a number, and again, this will require some additional research, and if any of our callers that you know, that have done any additional research, any of my classmates that I look and see that's on the line have done any additional research and found some numbers that will support what I'm about to say, please, by all means, chime in on the conversation. 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. But I would say if there are any factors out there that talks about, that gives us an indication of where we're at as far as interfering with the academic process, or showing us the benefits that some of these other countries have been able to get from their sports academies. Because my concern is having a sports academy and taking away from that balance of academics and athletic talent, taking away from that balance, now we have an individual out here that if he or she is not playing sports, then they may not be a valuable citizen within our community. So where would that lead them? What situation would that put them in? That would put them very much in the same situation as an individual that has just been released from incarceration. Sad to say. What I look at as being a non-productive citizen. I'm not going to say first class, second class, third class, whatever. A non-productive citizen. If your whole life was geared around playing sports, and now you are, your career is over, and you're 22, 23, 24, 25 years old, and you no longer are able to go out there and do the thing that you have done over the last 15 years or so, or longer, now, where are you in our society? In this global market in which we live in, you will struggle. You will seriously struggle. Very seriously. And in this argument, they go on and talk about the experiences of the student athlete. And again, and in talking about those experiences, again, we can go either way with this conversation. But it simply says, intercollegiate sports affects the educational and development experience of student athletes. That was one of the questions that they started out with. Do interscholastic sports affect the educational and development experience of student athletes? Again, this question can go either way. This question can be very difficult to answer because what they're not looking at, they're looking at this as a whole instead of looking at this as each individual. Because each individual child may be able to do a little bit more than the other child. So let's not put them all in one category because they all play football and say that they are all that goes back to that old philosophy of dumb jocks. And I thought we got away from that. So if you take that philosophy out of play, this whole conversation and this whole entire argument will be mute. But again, there's some critics out here that will question that. There's some critics out here that will question that. You know, researchers, and there's some researchers out here, suggest, you know, they say that there's a balance between the two. And they have identified that. They let us know that it is possible to maintain both. But, of course, you have some for and you have some against. Parents, this is where we need to educate ourselves. We need to educate ourselves to the point of being able to sit down and education and whomever, politician, and just simply discuss with them our concern about this particular issue. That's what I'm saying. Being able to attend a school board meeting and address this issue and find out where your particular school system is at is a valuable thing. Is a valuable thing. Again, you can always join in on the conversation at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Love to get your thoughts on what I've been talking about so far. In the meantime, and in between time, I'm going to go ahead and see if we got a little sound bites to run this, and I'll be right back.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and won 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, we're back. And folks, you know, we've been talking about some very interesting things, and hopefully I've said something that has caught your attention. And not only caught your attention, made you think a little bit. Made you question some things that you may have seen or may have heard at one of your local school board meetings. You know, because we look at this overall picture, and I bring this conversation up here on Father's Day 2017. Because I want more dads to get involved in the process. Dad, if you don't understand, know how to support, help, nurture, guide your child, I'm here. You can catch me here on Sunday evenings at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can find me on social media, PCP Network. You can look me up on Facebook. You look up Michael H. Scott on Instagram, LinkedIn, on Facebook or LinkedIn. Parents Coach Parents Network on Blog Talk Radio. Parents Coach Parents Network on Facebook. We're here to make this process and make this transition easier for you and for us to pull together and be a unified voice as we address issues that's going to impact our children. Our children. Not our student athletes. I want you to get that word out of your vocabulary. Our children. Because there's a big difference between our student athletes and our children, although you may not want to look at it that way. But I want to share something with you. The first president of the NCAA, and I've said this several times before here on our show, the first president of the NCAA coined that term, student athlete, solely for the purpose. And we can tap dance and run around, and you can come up with a couple other reasons why you may think it came out and came about. But listen to me. Please stay with me. Coin that phrase, student athlete, solely for the purpose of avoiding a lawsuit. Yeah, you heard me right. Solely for the purpose of avoiding a lawsuit, because in doing so, he had a student that was injured in a football game. And of course, you know, the student wanted to know about his, you know, medical plans, so on and so forth, and whether or not the school was going to be able to cover it, and you know, whether or not the NCAA was going to back the school in covering it. So the term student athlete was born. That took the student out of being an individual that was employed by that school or helping that school generate revenue to now the individual is a student. Convince many of us to say it, and we say it just like a song. They have convinced us to say student athlete. I need you to be a student athlete first. No. If you go into a school and you go on to play sports, you need to be an athlete. You are a student of life. You are a student of life, and you will continue to learn every day of your life. Now, whether or not you are an athlete of life, that's an altogether different story. But as long as that school is paying you to come there and play, then you are an athlete that is attending the university of or the college of whatever it may be. I know there's some moms and probably even some dads and grandmas or whoever that's frowning their face up and shaking their head right now because they don't agree with the statement I just made. But this was back in the 1950s when this conversation came up. Here we are in 2017. This was over 65 years ago, folks. Pushing close to 70 years ago when this conversation came up. And we haven't made enough noise or brought that conversation to the table enough time for anybody to even pay attention to it. If your child gets hurt, and I've said this before, and this is a question that you need to ask your coach anytime that coach is trying to recruit your child. If your child gets hurt, what happens to him or her? Do they still remain on scholarship? Or does it get dropped back to a partial scholarship? Or are they asked to leave the team altogether? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever forced that coach to put those eggs on the table? That's right. So, parents, there are so many different things that we need to be aware of. Dads, we are a huge part of this process. Whether or not we want to know or believe or take part of it or whatever, we are a huge part of this process. And we must remain involved. Not an optional thing. And I'm not trying. Let me stop saying that. I'm going to have to stop saying that. Because it's almost like I'm trying to tell you what to do. No, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm simply letting you know that I'm here to help you and share the knowledge and understanding that I have. And the knowledge and understanding that those within Parents Coaching Parents Network have with you, you that's currently listening to this show on this Father's Day on 2017, sharing that with you so that you're better able to support your child. If it sounds like I'm running a broken record, and I'm skipping, and I'll keep going over the same things over and over because I want to make it a part of your DNA that you're able to rattle this off just as easy as I'm able to rattle it off. That's what I'm here for. That's my purpose, to make sure that you understand the process. You understand the do's and don'ts. You understand how to maximize the benefits of your child getting a scholarship. Because if you don't, the person that suffers in the end is not you. It's your child. He or she may be shortchanged in their education. He or she may be asked to leave school because of the simple fact that the I's wasn't dotted and the T's wasn't crossed. But when we as parents understand the process, we're better able to support our children. Help us help you. That's the motto of the Parents Coach Parents Network. Help us help you. That's our motto. That's what we're all about. We're all about sharing our insight with the next generation of parents. There's no reason for us to hold on to it. Our children are probably done playing. Many of us that's at the key and at the highlight and at the pinnacle of our lives with this sports industry, we understand the process. We're trying to share what we understand with the next group of parents. So it becomes better and better for the next group as time goes on. And as they change, we change and evolve. That's all I'm trying to do, parents. That's all I'm trying to do. Trying to make sure that you get the best out of this situation so that you're better able to help, serve, guide, and nurture your child as he or she is involved in this sports industry. Because this industry could be a rough place. It's all about what you know and who you know. You know, this is business, probably one of the more lucrative businesses that the average child can be involved in, an average family can be involved in. And if you're not able to maximize your efforts, then you've wasted a lot of time. You've wasted a lot of time. Parents, again, if you want to call in, or you're listening to us via the web, you want to call in, join in on the conversation, I welcome you. Any of my classmates, if you're out there, you want to call in or you want to join in on the conversation, hey, truly welcome you, 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. You know, started talking about fathers and Father's Day and went on to talk about interscholastic sports, and the conversation that's going on nowadays with interscholastic sports. And one of the things that that we see is driving that conversation is the game of football. And think about how many young men in your community is involved in the game of football. And if football gets cut out of the school system and becomes a private club or private organization program, will it be the same? Will it be the same? Conversations behind football is simply the concern about the concussions. And sometime over the next few months, we're going to have a huge conversation over concussions. I'm working on trying to get a couple guests in to call in and share some insight on concussions. And hopefully we can get that guest in to just give us some take on, you know, the concussion industry and what's going on in the world of concussion, because that will be a deciding factor. That will be a deciding factor on where the football program goes moving forward. It will be a deciding factor on where the football program goes moving forward. And what I mean by that, on whether or not we continue to have contact at the middle school and high school level, or will that turn into a flag-style game? Well, we have the 7-on-7 program that's slowly starting to evolve. Well, if we go to the 7-on-7 style program, that cuts back on the number of players that we actually have out there. You could probably get through a good 7-on-7 team with 21, 28, less than 30 players. Less than 30 players. I'm talking about combined, less than 30 players. You're talking about both offense and defense. In a regular football squad, them numbers may double. And if you're talking about JV and varsity combined, that number may even triple. So, how many young men will be without anything to do if we go down to cutting out interscholastic sports, or interscholastic sports become a privatized organization, part of a private organization? Just something to think about, parents. Food for thought. Food for thought. As we go into this summer, most kids are on summer break roundabout now. All graduations probably have already happened. Hopefully most of the school systems are out for the summer. You got your summer leagues going on. You have your AAU season going on. You have your showcases going on, evaluation camps and clinics. Maximize that time, parents. Maximize that time. But in maximizing that time, know when your child should be out there and shouldn't be out there. I say that because it's vitally important that he or she takes advantage of this time period, so that if he or she is going into their senior year, they have a clue of where they're going next year, even if they're going into their sophomore year, just starting their freshman year. Start doing the right things now so that you know things are lined up to fall in place prior to reaching your child's senior year in high school. It is so, so, so important. So important. Well, parents, I don't see a number of you. Hopefully a number of you are checking this out via the internet. Again, you can always call in on 917-889-8095. I see a few callers that's our usual callers that's string and listening to the show, and hopefully got something out of the show today. And hopefully, they will benefit from what we've shared and have the opportunity to share it with others. You know, one of the biggest things that I always tell folks and ask them to do, if you take the time to, you know, listen to the show, please, by all means, you know, share that information or share this the show information with other folks out there, because that's the only way we're going to, you know, the word's going to get out. If you get a chance, check out the interview that I had here most recently. It's on SoundCloud with Michelle Turner in the show out of a station called WNHH. It's on SoundCloud. It's the host is Michelle Turner in the show on WNHH. Go up there on SoundCloud and check it out. Type in Michelle Turner and the show. Parents Coaching Parents Network, Michael H. Scott, and hopefully it'll pop up and you'll get a chance to check out an interview that we just recently did. And just basically sharing some of the same information that we shared this evening. And we got into a few other things and kept the conversation lively and kept it entertaining. But for the most part, it was informative. That's all we're trying to do, to share a little information. Share a little information. So for all you dads that's out there, trust me. Know that I'm in your corner. Moms as well, you listening to the show, I'm in your corner as well. We are here to serve you. We are here to serve you. The Parents Coach Parents Network is here to serve you and make sure that, again, you get the best out of this situation, your child playing sports, whether or not they're currently playing at the recreational level, YMCA, private organization, or whether or not they're entering middle school, high school, or just starting their first years in college. Conversation for you that can help you, keep you focused, keep them grounded, and at the same time, everybody wins. It becomes a win-win situation. Say a win-win-win situation. You win. Your child wins. And the community as a whole wins. If we want to take it at that level. If you want to add another win in, you can add in the win of the university. I would include them as the community as a whole. Or society wins. You win. Your child wins. And society wins as a whole. Because now we done turned out another college educated, multitasking, highly motivated, successful leader. Well, folks, it's been fun. It's been real fun. You know, I think we have shared enough with you this evening just to simply say that, you know, we got some points out. Share this episode with some friends. Please share this episode with some friends. Let them know, you know, this is just a conversation, just talking to some dads on Father's Day. And hoping and wishing and praying that they get the best out of this conversation each and every time. Again, like I said, it's been fun. It's been real fun. So until our next show, which will be next Sunday evening, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. I'm lining up some guests, folks. I had an opportunity to attend an event, but I'm not going to say too much. You're just going to have to tune in to check us out. But I think we got some stuff that is going to be a real eye-opener for you here coming up over the summer. So check us out here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, like I said, it's been fun. It's been real fun. We out.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Take us out, Keith.
A student of the game. Had people fun and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I could see the death and be bald, would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my career come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the plumber, out the pen. But I'm hating them. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at the disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.